In a world where everything is backwards is forwards, and forwards is backwards, and right is left, and left is right. Ah! Hey guys, it's Jay again. Ran while driving to work. This is, must be opposite Wednesday or opposite day. Remember that when you were a kid? You know, opposite day, like yes and no, no and yes, and you gotta, you know, play along with the kids and stuff to fit in, to feel cool, and to feel liked and wanted. And it's just me? Yeah, it's probably just me. It's fine. This is what this last episode of Malcolm Gladwell's Revisionist History, it's entitled McDonald's Broke My Heart. What? He's talking, I'm thinking, okay, maybe he's not thinking of the Megalopolis franchise fast food chain McDonald's, Golden Arches, that we all so love and dear. No, that's what he's talking about. Thought maybe he's talking about some person called McDonald who broke his heart. I was like, oh man, it's like a love story. This is going to be some heart-wrenching. He went from completely, you know, talking about power struggle and race and oppression to fast food. It's a great flip from the last 3 weeks. It was very light, which is good. Man, I don't know. So he used a lot of anecdotal evidence, and also he went to like a food place and they prepared it, and I guess that was his scientific swing to it because he went to a place that does that. Here's the thing. I grew up at McDonald's all throughout the mid to late 80s, all the way through the 90s and the early 2000s. Now, he says in this, again, oh, so I probably should back up one hair. I'm going to be rewinding the latest Revisionist History. If you haven't already listened to that, go check that out first, then come back here, and I'll kind of dissect it, hopefully give you a little bit more to think about. That's the idea. The goal is to push the boundaries. What he says just isn't all there is. There's more to the story than just that. There has to be. He only has 30 minutes to talk about this. It's, you know, it's not going into hour-long conversations. It's very brief. But the way he presents it, like, oh, this has got to be it. This is it. He solved the problem. The equation's over. And that's not the case. Sometimes he's just beginning to unwrap the package in Christmas. Sometimes it's not the whole... Sometimes it's just not empty. The box is empty. Sometimes it's, you just began. I like to use that analogy instead of the onion analogy. But if you like the onion analogy, then there's layers and et cetera, et cetera. But whatever. McDonald's. Near and dear to my heart as a child. Born in the early 80s as myself. So I had McDonald's as a single mom. She took me there quite often. She sent me a box of old toys, and somewhere in there were some Happy Meal toys that I've kept, that I've given to my child, and he's playing with, so it's kind of cool. And I guess, you know, good thing is if they break, they're really cheap on eBay, so I can just replace it, and he won't ever know. It's fine. I'm not a bad dad. I'm just intuitive. I'm just ingenious at this. They're all fine, though. He plays good. Anyways, he was talking about the fries of how amazing they were, and then all of a sudden in 1990 they flipped and they switched and they were bad. I remember this change differently. And I'm not saying what he said's wrong, because, you know, they have things saying, okay, they used to put their lard, cooked in lard essentially, right? Cooked in fat or animal fat or whatever. And I think we thought that even then. I don't know if it was like a nationwide thing. I don't know if they rolled it out all at the same time. I felt this change was later in the 90s. That it was really good to... They had a change that they messed it up. He did mention there was another change in the 96 or so. That sounds about right to me. Like, that change happened. And then again, they changed it in the early 2000s. And the reason why I think they did that, which I've said this before, I'll say it now, Supersize Me, the documentary in 04. So that came out in 04. And I think that completely changed many, many recipes that McDonald's had. And Gladwell does say that it was changed again, like in 03, 04, something around there, like that. So this would make sense. This would fall in line with all these different things that I have felt changes. I don't remember, honestly, what it tasted like before 1990. I had the French fries many, many, many times. I do remember that those 90s fries were really good. Now, what he doesn't mention, which I'll mention this, is the Coca-Cola, the fountain drink at McDonald's, was amazing. Cool, crisp, the right mixture between syrup and, you know, the bubblies. Was un-effing real. He doesn't say it like that for the fries. He has these eloquent words, golden, brown, fluffy, middle. Yeah. No, that's what he gets paid for. He has time to find a dictionary and a thesaurus and figure this stuff out. I don't have that time, people. I say effing amazing. Wow. Now, this is from a person who drank too much caffeine. I don't drink caffeine anymore. It took me 2 years to stop drinking the caffeine. I was, like, drinking, like, at least a six-pack a day. It sounds like alcohol. It's I believe it's the biggest drug in America, and it's legal. You know, just the how much caffeine stays in your system, how long it takes to get out of your system is ridiculous. It's constantly in your body. The half-life is phenomenal in that thing. Just caffeine just is perpetuating in through your bloodstream. Took me 2 years to get off. With a relapse, yeah, it's a Super Bowl relapse. Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah, we all have our relapses as addicts. I believe I could have been clinically classified as having a problem with caffeine. You just need 500 milligrams a day. And that's two Red Bulls, buddies, out there. All right? So, yeah, check how much milligrams of caffeine you have. And if it's over 500, then you can be clinically diagnosed. I wasn't, but, you know, you'd start doing the math and you're like, oh, wow, that's pretty bad. How I did it, if you're curious how I did it, it was I deducted 50% of my intake a day. And so if I was drinking 6 cans a day, I would go down to 3. And I would drink 3 cans until I could feel in my body that I was able to drink less. Right? It's a physical addiction, right? I mean, that's where you get the headaches. When I was stopping, I had like all the symptoms, and that's why I know I was addicted. You know, depression, anxiety, just, what were the other ones? Headaches, just, I mean, everything. It was bad. Not fun. But then I would keep on going cut in half and half and half until you get down to like 1. And that went from 1 to 0. So, you know, let's say it was like 6, 3, 1.5, 1, 0. That's kind of how I did it. And what I did for myself when I was at 1 was a little cheat. But you know what? It's my own plan. This is what I did. So the cheat was that I was able to have 1 drink, regardless of the size. yeah, counterproductive, but it worked. It was a treat. You know, hey, I finally got down to 1, and maybe I'm in college at the time, so maybe I need a little more pick-me-up, because I got a big exam coming up, I got finals, so I need, like, a big 44-ouncer. Maybe I'm not thirsty that really much, I don't really care, I'll have a small little can. And then after that, I was like, you know what, I think I'm done. I don't need it anymore. I haven't touched it since. It's been clean and sober since, '05, '06, maybe somewhere right around there, somewhere right around there. 04, 05. Yes, it was that early 2000s, right around the last change of the Coca-Cola at McDonald's. Now this Coca was just amazing. Me and my buddies used to rank the best kinds of sodas around. I'm a Coca-Cola guy, not a Pepsi guy. Coca-Cola all the way, 100%. I had some Pepsi friends, some Dew friends, you know, and we were talking about the not too many Dr. Pepper friends. We didn't get along. I don't do drugs. I've never done drugs, so I don't know, but I could only assume the scene could be similar, where you have your pot friends, you know, maybe your smack friends, your that one crack guy who's crazy, the meth person who you don't talk to anymore because they're bonkers, you know, that one guy you saw at a party who's doing crocodilly or something. I don't know. Is it the same thing? I'm not quite sure. I could only assume it's the same thing. But yeah, we had different friends, and we were talking about the differences, which one was better, where to get the best kind of what we liked. I was like our dealers, right? I mean, we had our little rankings, like McDonald's fountain number one, number one, that's like 1A, 1B would be like any fountain, 2 would be from a glass bottle. Maybe not the type of Mexico, because the little syrup was a little different. They made it, maybe came because of the water they used there. Maybe it just tasted differently. Not the Mexican, but from a bottle would be number 2, right? Number 3 would be like plastic bottle. 4 was the can, right? But easy, more accessible was the can and the fountain. So you're really oscillating primarily between the two. So that was kind of my thing, right? I was like fountain, McDonald's, then A1B was like any other fountain, then the glass bottle, phenomenal. The taste is different. It's like when you're drinking a beer. I'd rather drink it out of you go draft and then bottle and then can, right? It's the same thing for me, right? So it's the fountain, it's the glass container. It tastes a little differently. And then you get the can, because then you start tasting aluminum and stuff after a while, and you just irony, and yeah, it's not good. So same thing, right? I'm sure wine drinkers, I guess they're just glass, right? No one's drinking out of the bottle of wine. They don't go like, yeah, you know, sure, pour in the glass, and then the second one's out of the bottle because that's the glass bottle, and then the... So am I still recording? Cool. My phone was just beeping at me. I was like, no, I'm recording, people. Leave me alone. So there was a difference here, right? This change, I believe, is because of the movie of Super Size Me. This one guy, this kind of journalist dude who did this for a little while, put his body through a 30-day only McDonald's and see what happened. Now, this thing, what you have to realize about, I ate McDonald's at least 3 times a day for most of my life. You know, I would say definitely throughout high school. 8th grade, yep. 7th grade, yep. 6th grade, half. 5th grade, half. So, 1st grade till 6th grade, probably about half the time I was at McDonald's for at least one meal a day. If not multiple meals a week, you know. And then, like, 6th grade and through on, it was, like, every day. And then, like, 8th grade through 12th grade was, like, at least 2 times, maybe not, if not 3 times, right? Just every, and you know, the supersized meals, the 44 ouncer drinks, the everything big, right? And I graduated high school at like $1.25 or something like that. Just nothing. My cholesterol to this day is low. I've always been low. It's fine. My resting heartbeat was always, I mean, the last time I checked, getting older, I'm not exercising, was always at or around 60, no more than 65, 70 tops, my resting, right? I mean, like, so healthy person. But I have good genes, though. That's what it comes down to. Maybe this guy didn't have good genes. Like, yeah, his health went to crap because that's what he wanted to tell us. He wanted to say McDonald's is bad for you. Look at what happens to me. I'm going to die if I keep on doing this. But if I did it, I would have been fine. Nothing would have happened to me. You would have seen, like, nothing. And is it because I was eating it since I was 6 years old, so I built up some kind of tolerance to it, and therefore I gradually increased my intake, and therefore I could handle it more? I don't know. I just know today I'm still skinny, relatively. Now I'm, you know, 170, 180 now. But, you know, the wife fattened me up. What can I do? Whatever. You know, but still, by my family, just relatively this thin, we have... Just what it is. We're not a bodybuilder genes, you know. This won't happen. I won't get that. I won't get swell. All right. But I do have a huge intolerance to fast food stuff, right? But that was a key in that time period where they changed the formulas again. They took out something. They did something to the fountain drinks. My family could tell because we were there religiously. And we stopped going because of that. It just wasn't good anymore. Whatever they did the sodas, they did the same thing to the French fries, right? They put something else in it. right? They added something in there that was phenomenal, that I guess wasn't good for you, but really sodas really isn't good for you anyways, so that doesn't really matter. Like, if you, it's like smoking. So I have, oh, I do menthols only. It's still bad for you. Oh, filters. I use filters. It doesn't matter. It's still bad for you. And you're still, like, sucking in tar and glass and stuff. So, I mean, change it all you want and get a light 100 instead of the full, you know, red, you know, whatever it's called. I don't know the smoke. I don't know if it's cigarettes. But the idea is the same, though. It's bad is bad. It doesn't really matter. It's just degrees of bad. Here's another interesting thing. So they were doing all these changes throughout the decades. And yes, there was a generation of people who have never tasted the good, quote-unquote, good French fries that are dipped in animal lard or whatever, right? Now, of course, if you're a vegetarian or veganism, what have you, whatever on the spectrum you lie on there, once that you find out that, they would have to change it anyways. Because, you know, people would be in uproar. You can't have a vegetarian and give them a French fry and say, oh, now they're eating meat, and they're going to freak out. From my recollection, no one really cared about vegetarianism or veganism in the, late 80s, early 90s. I think then it was vegetarianism, now it's veganism. I don't know what the next trend is going to be. They might have to change anyways. Gladwell brings up some good points of how it's hard to make a French fry good without putting actually like the solid fats in it or whatever instead of liquid fats. And I bet you there's some restaurants out there that still use the lard and stuff and different things, and that's probably good. And it probably doesn't make it amazing. The fact of the matter is that there's other factors involved. And here's the thing. I just saw Adam Ruins Everything. Follow him on Twitter at Adam Conover. He does a true TV show. I believe it airs every Tuesday, 10:30 Eastern, something like that. Check it out. And he debunks things and goes, oh, things you think are true. He doesn't, you know, he says stuff and he's like, hey, guess actually, you know, here's some more truths. And he has some research to it and some facts pop up. And he was talking about one about, non-fat foods. So if you take out the fat and things, you have to add more sugar, and actually the sugar is what makes it worse for you. So if McDonald's has done the same thing, if they took out the fat and they're adding something that's going to be more sugary, I don't know if that's true with the French fries, but it could be true with other things on their menu. People do this with cakes all the time and sweets to be, you know, fat-free, but the sugar content's like 8% or 9% or something like that, 7%. Bunch of sugar. And from what I remember reading not too long ago, a week or so, that now this is going to take a long time because the food people are fighting it. They can hide actually the fats in there that have been added. They only have to include the natural fats or sugars. So it could say 7% sugars, but they actually added another 12%. So now you're getting like 19% of your sugars in one thing. You don't know it. You think, oh, 7, okay, cool, I'll just kind of cut down. But you're really getting like 19. And they don't have to put down actually the added sugars, which is really big. If sugars is the problem that appear causing people to be fat and obese, and of course, I don't have to tell you, America has a big problem with obesity, right? And I guess that's different topics. People think the scale's a little bit different, no pun intended. However, there are many large people in the United States, and they primarily do eat bad fast food, so you could assume that bad fast food has bad sugars in it. I don't know. Or it's lack of exercise and just bad food. I don't know. I'm not a dietitian. I haven't studied too much into it. There's probably more than one answer, and that's the thing. I really did enjoy this episode. It brought me back to my days of enjoying McDonald's just fundamentally to the core, amazingly, awesomely good. I go every now and then, once every quarter, maybe twice a year. And I'm like, ugh, I don't know what I want. Nothing tastes good. I was never a Big Mac guy or Quarter Pounder guy, so it was mainly nuggets, the cheeseburger, double cheese, filet of fish. I don't think I've ever had a McRib. the French fries were always the go-to. And of course, now they kind of went down. You know, they're nothing. Yeah. Whatever. Anyways, guys, that's the day today. Thank you so much. Remember, hey, you are what you eat. Have a good one, everyone. Bye.